Thank you for choosing to listen to this message from our pastor, Brother Rob Coons. Let us enter now with the saints of God into a service already in progress.
The Bible said we have an unction from the Holy One to know all things. Amen. And He'll help us and lead us into the truth and the paths of righteousness. Open your Bibles. 1 John, the second chapter. I remember Brother Reggie, he's in the hospital. He had an open heart surgery. What I understand rather alarmed the staff at the hospital today because he was having some very serious complications. But they're requesting prayer to continue to pray for Brother Reggie. I'm sure everything's going to be all right. And you say, are you trusting in the medical staff? No, I'm trusting in the physician, Jesus Christ. Amen. We know that there's been many with life threatening illnesses and different things and death sentences from the doctors. And we've seen the great physician Jesus step in and heal and deliver and set free on numerous occasions. Amen. So when I trust and pray, I have faith because I've seen God move. God is a healer. He is a healer, brothers and sisters. It says in His Word, He's the same today, yesterday, and forever. You know what a lot of people don't understand? It says in the Scriptures that we will do even greater exploits than what the Lord Jesus Christ did when He was here on this earth. And you say, I have troubles with that. I don't have any troubles with it whatsoever at all. Because, you know, if you would go and read about the lepers that the Lord Jesus Christ healed, only one, I believe, if I'm correct here, came back to praise Him. The others, they already had a death sentence. You understand that? That's why I say when people come from the doctors and they say, well, the doctor said I've got a year to live. People, they get all tore up over that. Hey, you had only 70 years promised to you anyway. And the thing is what's 70 years when you're talking eternal life? You know, a son of God can't have a death sentence, a Christian, because we've passed from death unto life and we can't die. It might put you in a box that's considered sleep according to the Scriptures and the Word of God. Again, so oftentimes, you know, people have troubles with we doing greater things. I do rejoice when the doctors say that this man's going to die. Give him 6 months to live. We lay hands on him and pray for him. And the cancer's gone. The tumors are gone. The things that's going to kill him is gone. Now, I do rejoice in that. But you know what I really truly rejoice is when their name is in the book of life. When Jesus sent out the 70 and the 70 went out, they came back and saw that the devils were subject unto them. They saw the healing and the things taking place. And Jesus said, don't rejoice over that. Rejoice that their name be in the book of life. But you could take and pray for somebody and the death sentence, so to speak, or a time perspective of what they say, got a year to live. And then they live and they go on and go to hell. What have you done? If they lived on this earth for another 5 years, 50 years, whatever, what have you done? You've done nothing. And so the lepers that were healed, we said, that was great though. They had leprosy and their limbs were restored and things. They got to go back to their families. Praise God. But you know what, brothers and sisters? That their name be put in the book of life. You see, people say, well, I'd like to go to a church that has healing in it. You know that people are healed. If a guy walks through the door with a stick and he's tapping the stick and he's blind and you lay hands on him and say, I command sight in you in the name of Jesus Christ. And then he leaves with his eyesight and goes lusting after the world and the things of this world and loses his soul. You haven't done anything, have you? You see, we got too much emphasis on those things. And you say, well, you would say that because you don't see them. No, we see those things happen. We see those kind of miracles. But those aren't the true miracles, brothers and sisters. The miracles that take place, usually people don't see them. Because we're dealing with things in another dimension altogether. You see, Jesus came and walked among men to bring a manifestation of the invisible spirit world into a comprehension of an understanding. That was the purpose of Jesus come walked among men. Now when Peter recognized or knew who he was, thou art the Christ, the living Son of God. He said, this wasn't revealed to you by man, but it was revealed by the Spirit. Jesus knew at that point of time that he had fulfilled his purpose of walking on the earth. And he completed his course, what his purpose was on this earth. The purpose of him to walk among men was to bring a comprehension of an understanding of the invisible God. You see, Jesus was the manifestation of an invisible God. We'd have to go into a lot of teaching here tonight, and I've got scriptures to vindicate and to back up. We have oneness teaching that says there's only one, and it's Jesus and Him only. And they're right. We have Trinity teaching that says God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And they're right. They're both right. They both have errors, but they're both right. Some of them haven't learned to rightly divide the Word of God or differentiate God. Now, the Catholic Church teaches Trinity doctrine as God in three persons, and that has infiltrated much of our Protestant churches, which is false doctrine. It's heir to the Scriptures and the Word of God. Nowhere in the Bible you'll find that there's a three-person God. Some say three thrones. The Bible says one one throne. So it gets into a lot of teaching. I could go into much teaching on that tonight if the Lord takes us in those directions. I love to teach God's word. I used to be confused about those things. We know the Bible says confusion's of the devil. Yes, he would like to get you confused and keep you confused because he's the author of confusion. It doesn't mean you're of the devil if you're maybe confused about something, but God will bring you to a revelation and understanding to unfold it or unveil it to you that you can understand it. I deal with a lot of ministers around the different parts of the world teaching and indoctrinating and many things, and I find that there's a lot of people that separate themselves from many people. Starting out here this evening, we're going to turn over here and read some scripture in a minute, but I'm going to finish a thought. When I said that we can do greater things than the Lord Jesus, I didn't say that. That's not my doctrine. This is what Jesus said, that we would do greater things. See, we're a many-membered body. Now, the thing is what is the difference between you and the Lord Jesus, you might ask me? The Bible says that I'm bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. The Bible says, commands me to pray for the mind of Jesus Christ, to let that mind be in me that was also in Christ Jesus, and thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Now the Bible teaches us that if we are bone and bone and flesh of his flesh, and we're all part of a many-membered body, we don't pierce each other through nor break ranks according to the scriptures and the word of God. So we need to take our rightful place in Christ, knowing who we are. There's many people that walk far below their privileges in the ministry or in their privileges as a Christian because they really don't know who they are. As I was speaking with a man down at Kannapolis, and he kept speaking about all of the benefactors of being a Christian, but everything that he spoke about was after death. Isn't that sad? To think that, talk about all this wonderful things that we're going to have someday, we're going to die, and we're going to have all this. Brothers and sisters, he's given us everything that pertaineth unto life now. He wants us to walk in the joy of the Lord now with a peace that surpasses all understanding. Now, I know that we're right now in this life in a temporal mortal body that's a time element thing, and it goes back to the dust. And I know that it has aches and pains and complications, but his grace is sufficient. We don't let that beat us down. We don't let it make us weary. You see, we just go on and say, okay, why this spirit that's youth and a spirit that's eternal, the spirit that's living forever, the spirit that cannot die, that's living in me? See, that's what life is. And see, we have too many times our conversation is after the flesh, after carnal. The Bible said the carnal mind is death. The things that are natural, the things that are carnal. We talk too much about this fleshly thing. Oh, I'm tired. Oh, I'm weak. The Bible said, let the weak say they're strong. You see, then we get strength. We need to learn to speak by the Spirit. We need to pray in the Spirit. We need to learn to be spiritual. This is what the Bible teaches us. So we find a warfare. Brother Paul said, you know, he finds himself in a travail. He said the things that he wants to do, he finds himself not doing. He said the very things that I find myself doing are the things I don't want to do. Who's going to deliver me from this body of death? So we have to make ourselves twain. The Lord Jesus done that. He made himself both Lord and Christ, both Son of Man, both Son of God. So I've got to do the same thing. I've got to be both Son of Man and both Son of God. The Bible said that he's given us the power to be the sons of God. Beloved, now we are the sons of God. The Bible said the sons of God are led by the Spirit and walk in the Spirit. You see, I was speaking to an Assembly of God minister. I used to be an Assembly of God minister, and I was speaking to one. And I said, you know, I spoke to him. I said, you know, we're sons of God. And he goes, whoa, I can't say that. And I said, you can't say that. That's what the Bible says. Now, beloved, we're the sons of God. We've received the Spirit. We get so religious sometimes we don't understand the Bible. I'm born again. What was it, just some kind of a statement? A child, if you see somebody that's walking, got breath in their lungs, you know they were born in this world. They were born naturally speaking. They couldn't say, oh yeah, you know, I came from my mama's womb. But you see, there's something very powerful when we talk about being born again. It's just not a statement. It's a literal reality. And it's something that's birthed in the Spirit into the kingdom of God. It's a birthing. It's something that's eternal. It's something that you must do. The Bible said that you must be born again to inherit the kingdom of God and eternal life. So there has to be a birth. You know, if a woman goes to her husband and says, hey, I'm expecting a child, you know, he's got something to look for. He's going to see her start pushing out of shape, start swelling up. He's going to start seeing these things taking place. And she's going to bring forth a child. When somebody's born of God, brothers and sisters, and they're birthed into the kingdom of God, the same thing. It's in another dimension. There's something going going on in the spirit, you'll see a change, just as the woman goes through a change. When the woman starts changing, starts pressing out, she's less desirable to the world. When you receive the seed of life in you, you're going to start being pressed out of shape. You're different than the world. You can't be a Christian and be in this world. You can't be a Christian and look like this world. You can't be a Christian and talk like this world. The Bible said, come out of the world, be a separate people. The Bible says we're peculiar people. You see, we got to take the word. We got too much just pushing the word out of the churches. Just too much pushing it away. And, you know, just saying, oh, you know, I've got my own ideas and my own thoughts. There's too much of that. There's too many changes, too many new Bibles, too many of them being rewritten. I was talking to an elderly brother. He was grieved in his heart. He said, you know what? They've taken our old hymn books and got rid of them. He said, now we're singing this. He called it whatever kind of music it was. And the man was grieved in his heart. These old hymnals are anointed. These people, they used to fast. They used to pray. They used to come out of the world and they would be anointed of God and write songs. Nowadays, it's just rock and roll. And it just feels good and we like it. Like the beat on the drums and the guitars and all the stuff. Where's it at, brothers? Since we're just in bad shape. The church world of America is in dangerous, dangerous condition. The Bible says don't remove the old landmarks. Okay, I believe I had you turn over to 1 John 2. We'll do some reading here and we'll just trust the Lord to speak to us this evening. If not, we'll close the service. We'll go home and pray and ask God to help you. Amen. Hallelujah. I trust the Lord. You love the Lord? Did you come tonight with a drawing and a hunger? And the first verse of 1 John 2 says, my little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. I could take time to expound on that this evening, if the Lord would allow me to. Could take a few hours to expound on that. And that's probably one of the most misunderstood scriptures in this Bible. If you would go read Hebrews 6 and Hebrews 10, the chapter 10, you would find that it does not go along with what we just read here in your state of thought. That's why you have to come into the mind of Christ, the mind of revelation, and pray that God would grant unto you understanding, or you would take that scripture out of context. And hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. So we're talking about knowing here is questionable. Is that true? It says we know him if we keep his commandments. See, the word know there is another very misunderstood thing. I've done much teaching on this. The Bible said that Joseph didn't know Mary until after Jesus was born, but yet he was marrying her. God says, I never knew you, you worker of iniquity, depart from me. So here's this God that says he knows everything. An omniscient God that knows the number of hairs on your head. He's saying in his word, I never knew you. You see, people sometimes don't understand this, but we have an unction from the Holy One to know all things. And hereby, verse 3 again says, where we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. See, there has to be a marriage relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. He said he's coming back for his bride. So I guess that leaves me out. I'm a man. What should we do? Just quit preaching the gospel now? Man, I'm not a woman, so I must just forget it. You see, this is why we have to rightly divide the word of God and come into a mind of differentiation. I'm the bride of Christ. So maybe I should walk to church like this. Swing a little bit differently. Hey, it'd fit in this world. They got a bunch of queer pastors and all these evangelists and stuff now. It'd be okay to be a queer and be a preacher nowadays. It don't fit in my gospel nowhere. You see, what are we saying then? You're saying you're the bride of Christ? You see, this is what I'm saying. The carnal mind doesn't understand the word of God. I'm the bride of Christ and Jesus Christ is my husband. See, if you would think in the same dimensions of a natural man, it's perversion. And then my wife says, hey, I'm married unto the Lord Jesus. Then what did we have? But you see, what I'm saying is we have to learn to think. Somebody would say, well, Brother Rom, you see, you got to understand spiritual and natural. And the thing is you're the bride spiritually. And naturally, you're a man. Is that the way you think it is? But the Bible said there's no male nor female in the spirit. Now, you're going to sit here and tell me that I'm the bride in the spirit and naturally I'm a man. So then you must be mixed up yourself. Because the Bible says, and I go by what the Bible teaches, there's no male nor female in the spirit. So I can't be the bride spiritually and I can't be the bride naturally. So where am I the bride of Christ at? And where do I receive the seed at? And where does this relationship take place at? And you say, well, it takes place in heaven. Well, the Bible teaches very clear when Jesus was, they asked him, say, well, who will this woman be? When the one died and his brother married her, and then another brother said, whose husband will she be? And he goes, don't you know there isn't going to be no marriage and given to marriage in heaven? So then, where's this all taking place at? You see, this is why we have to find the mind of Christ and the revelation of the Lord Jesus. It's all very simple to comprehend and understand when you have the mind of revelation and the mind of Christ. But you ain't going to get the mind of revelation and the mind of Christ out here in the carnal mind and in the world, in the natural things, and playing these little church games. Oh, I said the sinner's prayer. I confessed with my heart and believed. You did? The Bible said man's heart's continually evil and wicked, and he doesn't even know his own heart. So how do you know if you believed in your heart when you prayed? Are we stirring up some questions now? So, Brother Rob, if you're not the bride of Christ in the spirit, and you're not a bride in the natural realm, and if we have a natural, physical, and spiritual realm, then so physically speaking, I know that you're a man, so I just don't understand where this is going to happen at. It doesn't make sense to me. Well, that's why we have to understand body, soul, and spirit. You see, when we talk about the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says Son of God and Son of Man, both Lord and both Christ. So we make him two, twain. So we say, oh, I could maybe see that because I believe there's three gods anyway. Well, we had one here walking among us and said that he was twain, both Lord and Christ. But then when Philip asked him, he said, when will I see the Father? And he says, how can you say you have not seen the Father when I've been with you so long? Oh, so now we're saying he's the Father. So what are you saying now, Brother Rob? I'm trying to get you to learn to differentiate in your mind between the Lord and the Christ, the Father and the Son, without getting natural in your carnal mind, which again is enmity with God and death. And you get into your natural mind, and then we make three gods. We got three thrones, and we got Jesus sitting on the right hand of the Father up in heaven. Well, that's what the Bible says. Well, was he the lion or was he the lamb when he took the book out? So are we going to have a lion there? Is the Father going to be sitting there petting a big lion on his right side? Or is he going to be holding a little lamb? Which one is it? It's like when I talked to a Trinitarian minister the other day, and he said, we take the Bible literally. And then when I asked him a couple questions, he said, well, we take it figuratively. And I said, which one is it, brother? Is it figurative or is it literal? You know, we got to take it one way or the other. So we have to have the mind of Christ to understand God's word. The Bible said it's hid from the wise and the prudent. We have to pray that God would grant unto us the mind of Jesus Christ, the mind of revelation, and the mind of the Spirit, or we'll never understand it. It's hid. So we're reading here in the second chapter, and we're going to answer some of these questions. So we understand the knowing that the Lord was speaking about in the third verse here is the knowing of a relationship. When Joseph did not know Mary, in other words, they did not have a relationship. She was a virgin when Jesus Christ was born. Joseph did not know Mary until after Jesus was born. And then, yes, he did have some, well, I guess we're going to have to call them half-brothers. That would have been, Joseph would have been their father. The knowing is a relationship that we're speaking about. Many times people say, oh yeah, I know the Lord. And I could say, no, you don't. You never knew him. And he never knew you. But I prophesied in his name. That's what the Bible says. I cast out devils in your name. Said, I never knew you, you worker of iniquity. Never had the marriage relationship. If you go to look at your allegories and your types and shadows in the Old Testament, if a woman didn't bring forth a child, they would be before the prophets pleading to open up their wombs for they could have an inheritance because there was no inheritance. It's the same today, brothers and sisters. The Bible said the woman is saved in childbearing. And most people would have a problem understanding that. I could say I could create so many questions, but it's very simple to understand and to comprehend in the mind of Christ and the revelation of the Lord. And the thing is the woman is saved in childbearing, and if she doesn't bring forth a child, there's no salvation. And I've gotten into much teaching on that. So you say if a woman that is womb is barren and doesn't bring forth a child in this world isn't going to have an inheritance with God. That's not at all what I said. You see, this is why we have to differentiate. I am the bride of Christ, and I go into a relationship with Jesus Christ, into the Holy of Holies. You understand that? We got plenty of Bible. The Bible says it's the secret chambers of the Most High God. And we enter into the secret chambers, and the Bible said it's his seed that remaineth in us, that keepeth us from sin. When a man goes into the marriage relationship with his bride or his wife, the seed leaves the loins of the man, and she reproduces after the image of the man and bring forth a child. But we're going into another dimension when we go into the relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. We bring the seed, as the Bible says. If we go right over to the next chapter in the third chapter, said it's the seed that remaineth in us, keepeth from sin. Sin, the Bible says, is the sting of death. Amen. But the Bible said we pass from death unto life, and we cannot die. Amen. And the reason we cannot die is because we cannot sin, because sin is the sting of death. It teaches us that right over in the next chapter. Now, the thing is that most of our churches are teaching us that we're sinners and we sin every day. And see, that's false doctrine, because that's not what the Bible teaches us whatsoever. The Bible said, ye that sin are of the devil. That's the next chapter. We'll get over there later. But let's stick with chapter 2 right now. We're speaking of Noah. Go verse 4. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar. And the truth is not in him. But whosoever keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected, hereby known we that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk, even as he walked. Were written epistles read known of all men. Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which ye had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which ye have heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past, and the true light now shineth. He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness, even until now. So we can start differentiating between light and darkness here, but let's go on. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother in the darkness and walketh in darkness and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. I write unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because ye have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because you have known the Father. I have written unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I know I have written unto you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one. Love not the world. That's a message needs to be preached throughout the world. Neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. You see, when you see people in love with this world and the frolics of this world and the fellowship of this world, you see, we are preachers. The Bible said, you know, they're called of God and sin of God because they turn people from sin. And we have to tell people to come out. This is the commandment of the word of God. Verse 16, we're almost to where I was wanting to go. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eye and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. You want to live forever? Do the will of God. Amen. Little children, in the last time. How many believe we're in the last time? Little children, it is the last time. And as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists. How many are there? Whereby we know that it is the last time. Let me say something right here. I say things that are hard to understand. I know that people would question me and even take scriptures and try to maybe find fault with me. But I was speaking to one of the ministers, and he was all excited about Obama becoming the president of the United States. You know, and this man is a great help to us. Very faithful and very great. So I just wrote him back. I said, well, he's Antichrist. You say, you surely didn't do that, brother. Oh, well, I sure did. The Bible said there's many Antichrists among us. Now, I could go into some teaching. I know the Word of God here will teach you in its own self, and we'll read on here a little bit. Do you really believe that President Obama is Antichrist? I do. I'm telling you, listen, brothers and sisters, you might have problems with that. You're thinking, I just don't see this, Brother Rob. I think the Antichrist is going to come up over here in the Middle East somewhere in Syria, and the whole world's going to follow after him. I said, yeah, you're right. That's exactly the way I believe it, too. But it doesn't mean that this Obama is an Antichrist. You see, there is the Antichrist, and then there's the spirit of the Antichrist. You see, I'm not the Christ. I'm not the Jesus that walked among men, but brothers and sisters, I am a son of God. The Bible says, beware when you entertain strangers unawares, some have entertained angels. You understand that? And you say, well, what does that mean? Well, I'm an angel. And you say, your mother didn't think so. You see, we keep switching gears back and forth. What is an angel? Well, an angel's a little fat baby with a diaper on and a violin that flies around heaven all the time and got little bow and arrows they shoot. You see, you got a corrupted thoughts. I'm not speaking as me as a man that you come up and pinch and touch as an angel. But the angel of the Lord lives in me, or I don't have eternal life. I have a spirit, brothers and sisters, that is an angel. The Bible said the first man, Adam, was a living soul, and the second man, Adam, was a quickening spirit. And a quickening spirit, brothers and sisters, an angel. Now, the thing is that an angel is a spirit. And we're going to get into a little bit of teaching here. I'm going to take a little bit of time. And we don't have deacons in this church to do this. Well, we got them prayed through. They got born again, filled with the Holy Ghost. Man, they don't do that. Okay, we're going to go back into the scriptures. I'm going to go into some thoughts here. Now, I made a statement here, and I'm not going to just leave it laying there, but I told this man about Obama being Antichrist. Let's read on a little bit, and we'll answer that. And you know, you say, well, the Bible says not to speak against dignitaries. Well, you show me some dignity in a man that kills babies, and then we'll talk about that. A man that signs legislation and starts sending your tax dollars into other countries to murder innocent babies in the wombs of mothers. And when their success isn't quite right and the baby's born in its life, to set them aside and let them die. And if that's a dignity, brothers and sisters, then I'm going to have to repent before God for speaking against a dignitary. So I have an understanding of the word of God. The Bible says we are rude in speech, but not in knowledge. Amen. Verse 18, little children, it is the last time. And as you have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. This has a real problem with their doctrines on backsliding. Again, Old Testament teaching. No teaching anywhere in the New Testament on backsliding, but it's being taught throughout the churches today. I wonder what they're going to do with that scripture. But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. I have not written unto you because you know not the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. Now, I'm going to go on here just a little bit more, but let me say a couple comments here. So if I could stand before you and say, oh, I believe that Jesus Christ is God, so then that would make me not Antichrist. The Catholic Pope says that Jesus is God, and he speaks about the Father. He uses the Bible, very similar to the King James Bible, and he talks about this God. He talks about Jesus coming. But I could tell you that the Pope is the Antichrist. And you say, oh no, now you've left the president, now you're talking about the Pope. Well, let me ask you a question. We get too religious. If you are leading people into hell, is that Christ? Would Christ lead people into eternal damnation? The Bible said if they preach any other word than what Jesus Christ preached, it said, let them be accursed. That's what the Bible says. Now, is the Catholic doctrine from the Catholic priest teaching what we teach in Christianity about the Word of God? Maybe some of you have never studied Catholic doctrine. My Bible, I could tell you what it says. It says that he's jealous of us. Now, the thing is, if he is jealous over us, speaking of God, we say the Bible says that jealousy is cruel as the grave. So now we have to differentiate jealousy. Is God's jealousy as cruel as the grave? Is a man, he should be jealous over his wife. But then yet there's another jealousy that's cruel as the grave. And there's an anger that'll destroy a man to bitterness all the way down in his bones. But then yet God had an anger and sinned not. So see, we have to get an understanding. You know, these movies about Jesus going into the temple, I'll tell you, it wasn't a pretty sight. He ran them out. And I guarantee he raised up his voice. It wasn't some feminine little Jesus that went in there. He went in there with all authority. And he ran them out, the money changers, out of the temple of God. He would do the same thing today. Because most of our churches have just become money changers. It's just a business. It's an organization. And they got their little rules and their things to set. And they don't allow the preachers to preach the word of God. And they go to seminary school and they learn this is what we believe. We don't cross up nobody, this and that. But you know what? We're not supposed to be popular. The Bible said they hated him first, and they'll hate you also. All you have to do is preach God's word. Amen. Jesus didn't have problems with the harlots, the drunks. He didn't have problems with them. He had the problems with the religious people. They're the ones that took him to the Sanhedrin. They're the ones that went to the Romans and said, you know, you've taken our laws away from us. We can't put him to death ourselves, so you've got to do it. It was the religious people that done that. And it's the religious people today that shut the mouth of the preachers. They take you off the radios when you preach the gospel. Okay. We're going to speak about the Antichrist here a little bit. But we have to understand some things before we could do that. Let me finish out in verse 23. We'll go right down to the end of the second chapter, and we're going to speak about some things. And I'll do my best not to keep you too long tonight. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father. But he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also. Let that therefore abide in you, which ye have heard from the beginning, and that which you have heard from the beginning shall remain in you. Ye also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life. These things have I written unto you concern them that seduce you. Did you hear that? Them that seduce you. But the anointing which you have received of him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you all things, and is truth, and is no lie. And even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him. Again, verse 27, if I wanted to take time to expand on it tonight, we could take literally hours on that. It's a very mistaught set of scriptures in the Word. If we would take verse 27 and separate it from the Bible and make a doctrine out of that, then God made a mistake to send the fivefold ministry. He said he sent the fivefold ministry, the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, and the teacher for the perfecting of the saints of God, for the utilization of the service of God. So why would he send a fivefold ministry if it says right here, you have no need of man to teach you? You see, line upon line, precept upon precept is what we have to do with the Bible and the Word of God. Now let's talk about the Antichrist for a moment. One thing you'll find out in the scriptures, there's always something that mirrors. And I'll use this as an explanation. When you want to understand Christ and you think you have an understanding of the Christ, you could look at the mirror of that, something that's opposite, the mirror of it. And you could look at the mirror of it and you would see the Antichrist. They're mirrored. If I stand in front of a mirror, I raise up my right hand. The individual looking back at me raises up his left hand. If I walk north, he walks south. If I walk east, he walks west. He's always doing the opposite of whatever I'm doing. In that mirror. You understand what I'm saying? The Antichrist is the opposite of God. If we can understand a revelation about the Spirit of God. You see, without his Spirit, the Bible says you're none of his. If we would understand the Father is Spirit, the Bible said the Father, that no man has seen him. The Father that says invisible. The Bible talks about visible and invisible dominions. It said that he created, speaking of the Lord Jesus, he created all things visible and all things invisible. All powers, he created all things. But then yet when we talk about the Spirit of God, the Father, it's invisible, no man has ever seen. So then Jesus is the fullness of the Godhead bodily. That's what the Bible says. We're going to talk about spirits here for just a moment tonight. People don't understand spirits. There's just so many things. It's so vast. When we think of the Spirit of the Father that no man has ever seen came and personified itself in Jesus. The word personified comes, it takes a spirit that dwells inside a person. And when that spirit leaves the person, then it has been recognized and it's a ghost. This is why he sent back the Holy Ghost, the Comforter. You see, because it was the Spirit of God came into the person, it was personified. He said it's expedient to go back to the Father. He said it could have said it's expedient to go back to the Spirit, go back and I could send one back. And it was the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost, brothers and sisters, is the same Spirit that dwelled within Jesus Christ, because the Bible said the same Spirit that's in you is the same Spirit that dwelled within Jesus Christ that will change your mortal body from mortal into immortality. We're talking about eternal life, and we need to understand this. You see, well, I have eternal life because I went into the altars and I said a prayer. I asked Jesus in my heart. I went over to the Romans Road of Salvation 3:23 for all sin and fallen short of the glory of God. I went over Romans 6 and I went over to Romans 9 and went through the motions. Well, if everybody that went through those motions is born again, then the Word of God is a lie. Because the Bible said it's a small flock and few be there that find it, and the righteous scarcely make it. So you think that somebody can confess with their mouth and not be saved? Oh, yes. See, the believing in the heart is where the problem is. The Bible said you have me on your lips, but your heart's far from me. So see, we're not trying to create here tonight unbelief and doubt, but sometimes we have to shake foundations of things for you could get a hold of the genuine. I was evangelizing and I was in the ministry and doing many things and I was preaching false doctrine. Paul, that wrote 2/3 of this New Testament, was holding the clothes of some that were stoning Stephen to death. This was a man that was full of the Holy Ghost. And the thing is Paul thought he was of God. He said, if we're going to say, Pharisees, he said, I was the chief of all of them. He was in the synagogues daily. But see, he was in error in his doctrines and scriptures, and he had to get the shucks off of his eyes on a street called Straight. So what makes us think that possibly are we so overconfident that we have everything just right, lined up? I have an unction to know all things, but he's leading me and drawing me into the truth. I'm pressing my way into the kingdom of God. I'm in a warfare with a carnal mind of a man that thinks it knows something when the Bible says it don't know what it ought to know. So we got to learn to kill one out and make another live. The Bible said we got to mortify the deeds of the flesh daily. We got to be caught up to the throne daily. The Bible teaches us that. We got to take up a cross daily. So there's a daily dying out. There's a daily resurrection. There's a once and for all death. I've been crucified with Christ. I no longer live. This is what it says in Galatians 2. I've been crucified with Christ in the life that I now live in the flesh. I live by faith in the Son of God. What's faith? You see, then we start, well, what is faith? Oh, it's the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Well, if it's not seen, then what do you need it for? You see, brothers and sisters, let's get real with God. Let's get real with God. We're in the end times. Things are closing up quickly, and we got too many religious people that are lost. If you think that every one of these churches on every street corner around the United States of America, that all these people are Christians, they're all going to make it in, then I don't want nothing to do with what you call heaven. I've been out there. I mean, read the newspapers and the things that are going on. The Bible said it's a shame for a man to have long hair. They got these long-haired freaks on the platforms and playing the instruments in the churches, men with hair down on their shoulders. That's an abomination. So what's going on? Why is it okay? Oh, we got a brother right here. His wife goes to a church over there. They got a homosexual in the last 2 months in the church twice preaching the gospel when they need to take the man and pick him up and carry him literally. Oh, but where's the love of God in that? That is the love of God. Carry the man out the door and throw him in the sidewalk and tell him don't ever come back. But where's the love of God in that? That is the love of God, because I don't want a pervert in the church perverting the children and the other people. And he's defiled the house of God. He calls himself a Christian? How can you be born again when you're a sodomite? It makes the word of God a lie. See, I'm just talking reality, brothers and sisters. We got to get real with this word of God. The Bible said in the end times, it's the layout of this end day church, it said they're blind. They have no need of God. They're rich. They got their doctors. They got their Medicaid. They got their medications. They got them. They don't need God. We have to have God. We need God. We need to have a prayer life with God. We need to be before the Lord praying and talking to him. But you know what? We're in a Laodicean day time. They're blind. Oh, I'm not blind. Now we can go back to what we started out talking about. You see, the churches are full of people that are blind and they need miracles. I'm not concerned. It's like I use so oftentimes the sister that wrote one of these hymnals in the thing said she wouldn't take a healing to her eyesight. She said she was afraid that if she could see naturally, that she would lose the eyesight that she had with the Lord and writing beautiful songs for the Lord. See, she had sight. Jesus was looking at people with 20/20 vision and he said, though you have eyes, you do not see. Though you have ears, you do not hear. Was he lying when he said that? No, he was talking to religious people, and that's where America's at today. They got eyes and they got ears, but they don't hear and they don't see. It's obvious. It's obvious of the condition in the churches and what's going on. You know, we talk about, well, our government's no good. Our school systems are corrupted. You know, the medical field is corrupted. Everything's corrupted. Yes, it is. But it's the only reason it is because it started in the churches of America. Boy, Brother Rob, are you against the church? I'm called to defend the Word of God. I love the ministry. I love the Word of God. I love the ministers of God that are truly of God. But the Bible said, you know, that they're called of God because they turn people away from sin. And when your preachers are telling you that you're a sinner and you sin every day, they're of the devil and they need to get born again. And I got Bible for that. When you have a preacher that tells you that you're a sinner and you sin every day, you need to say, pardon me, brother, with all due respect, I read my Bible. Because my Bible says, ye that sin are of the devil. And I'm not going to have no preacher telling me I'm of the devil. I'm of God. Well, you don't sin? That's what my Bible teaches me. If you go right into the next chapter, ye that are born of God cannot sin. You know why I can't sin? He said, blessed is the man that God doesn't impute sin. It's not because my deeds are good. It's because I have a good God that washed my sin away and put it as far as the east of the west. Because sin is the sting of death. You say, well, I don't understand that. Well, that's why I'm trying to take my time tonight to try to teach you that you need to come to a revelation and to an understanding. Well, we can go over to Romans 6 right now, and it says, when sin is, the grace abounds that much more. Do we continue on in sin? No. This is why we teach Hebrews 6 and Hebrews 10. Because if you continue on living in sin and continue on living in the world, there remaineth no more blood sacrifice for that sin, according to the scriptures and the word. And if there's no blood atonement for that, then what is it? The fire indignation of God. A lot to be said there. We're still speaking about spirits. Let's talk a little bit for a moment, because I said a lot of things here this evening that would literally take hours to expound on them. I try to stir up the pure mind within you. That's what my Bible teaches me to do. And I do purposely many times try to bring questions into people's hearts because it gets them searching and digging in the scriptures, digging in the word and getting in the Bible and challenging themselves. The Bible says to examine yourself and see if you be in the faith. Brothers and sisters, there's a lot of doctrines of men in America and throughout the world. I've been in many countries and I find that these doctrines from this Western religion of the United States of America has infiltrated the world. America had a good gospel doctrine of Jesus Christ, and it was an awesome gospel, and it took it throughout the world, and God used America to take and evangelize the world. But America has been perverted by our television evangelists and a bunch of money greedy, hungry dogs, and they've taken this gospel and they've watered the word down, they've rewritten our Bibles, and the condition of the churches are in bad shape. I could talk about denominationalism for a moment. And I could say that in the 25 so years that I've been serving the Lord, that I've noticed some of these denominational churches have made vast changes. Things that they wouldn't allow. When I was young and I was become a member of an Assembly of God church, I had to sign papers that I wouldn't be in the movie theaters. Does anybody have to do that to go to a church anywhere? What's wrong with the movie theaters? What's good with it? I couldn't have playing cards in my home. No alcohol. We weren't allowed to go to the pizza places in town because they served alcohol. And you say, oh, I think that's just a little... Well, you know, we could say, well, that's a little far-fetched. But then yet, look at the condition of all the allowances and all the rights. The interpretation of Laodicean is people's rights. You see, brothers and sisters, we don't need rights. We need the Word of God. And what we're doing is we're saying, well, I've got the liberty. You could do anything you want. You could dress like you want. You could speak like you want. You could curse. You could smoke. You could snort. You could drink. You could lie. You're under the grace of God. You could do anything that you want. And nobody's going to give you any problems. But if you're going to become a child of God, you're going to have a father that disciplines and chastens his children. And he's going to bring some expectations of you. If you're a natural father and you've got little children, don't have no expectations of them, you're not fit to be a father, called a father. But we have a heavenly father that has expectations of us. And we have a way to walk in the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're written epistles, read known of all men. People are watching our lives, and we need to walk a godly, Christ-like life. But let's go talking about this Antichrist spirit. If I could make a statement and say that Obama is the Antichrist, I would be in error. But I can make a statement and say that he has the spirit of the Antichrist. You see, I know that he's not a Christian. I know that. You say, well, you can't judge. No, my Bible teaches me that ye that are spiritual judge all things. And the Bible says that judgment begins in the house of God. And my Bible says that the least of you in the house of God could judge all things and will even judge the angels. Are you aware of that? It's what it says in the Bible. It says that we'll even judge the angels. So I have to judge. But I know for a fact that the man is not born again. Now, could he become born again? Yea and amen. There could go through some catastrophic events, and he could see that he brought a nation to sudden destruction. And he might find repentance with God and turn away from God. But my Bible says that two cannot walk together lest they be in agreement. And Reverend Wright, that he sat under for over 10 years and walked with him, it means he's in agreement with him because he sat in that church. And that man is most definitely a racist. A bad one. Very terrible. And that makes Obama one with him. It's like I told the sister the other day when they allowed the homosexual preacher to come to the church and preach. I said, I don't know any nice way to say this to you, sister, but this is the only way that I understand the Bible. And I said, your preacher needs to get born again. I mean, come on, what kind of preacher is going to bring a queer in your church? Two can't walk together lest they be in agreement. And the thing is that when you're walking in agreement with that, you're going to stand the judgment with that. So the problem is the preacher. I said, all you could do is leave the church. I said, I'm not looking for you to come over here. I'm not telling you that, but I'm telling you that's what you must do. So if you sit in a church with perversion and that kind of filth in it, then either you're going to be defiled or you have to go. Brother Rob has had to do that over the years. On different occasions, I've had to go. And the Lord said, it's time to go. And that's what I did. We're speaking about spirits. Now, the thing is, we're talking about the spirit of the Antichrist. And I don't really think for a moment I'm going to narrow this thing down and say it's the Pope over here and it's the President of the United States. There's many Antichrists. And I'm going to make a statement here, and it's probably going to draw you up a little bit. But the Antichrist is preaching from more pulpits in the United States of America than born-again Christian preachers are. Now, that might sound scary to you, and I'm sorry. But I can tell you, thus saith the Lord. And the Bible said, if you prophesy and it's false, you know, woe. better watch out. But I'm telling you, that's the gospel truth. And I know that. And now you think, that's a pretty harsh statement. Well, you have to go back to the scriptures. Small flock, few be there that find it. The righteous scarcely make it. When we go to the scriptures and go to the word of God, and we find a flood that came onto this world, and there was 8 that went out in the flood, and all of the rest of the millions of people drowned. And then we come down over to the millions that were in Egypt. And Moses was sent back and led them out into a wilderness. The ground opened up in the wilderness and swallowed up these elders and things there. Isn't that right? Well, we forget one more between that is with Lot. And 4 came out of there. It was 8, and then 4 came out, and brimstone and fire came and destroyed all the rest. I can't remember the hundreds of thousands it was noted to be at that time. I can't remember. It was a very large number. So we're talking about understanding God. 8, and then there was 4. And then we go over to all of the thousands or millions that came out. I believe it was estimated to be 3 million that came out of Egypt, and then went out into the wilderness for 40 years. You know how many crossed of the elders that were above 20 years old? 2. Joshua and Caleb. The ground opened up out there and swallowed them. We're talking about understanding our God. Now we're talking about in this time, in this day and hour, and he said he's the same today, yesterday, and forever. He said when it come down to this time, it would be like it was in Noah's time. How was it in Noah's time? 8. And we're talking about this big rapture and about all these millions going to jump up in the sky and be vanished out of here. Come on, let's get some understanding with the Word of God. We got to quit playing with these fairy tale religions and games. Yes, I believe in the rapture. But you see, I don't believe it the way they're teaching it. They're teaching it for we could live in foolishness and frolic in the flesh and have a good time and have our club, and the preachers could be out on the golf courses and just be having a good time, and in one day, poof, when we're gone. It's not quite that way. I could get into some teaching again. I'm stirring up questions, I know. I can get into some real revelational teaching on there. If I told you tonight and I could show you in the scriptures and prove to you that the rapture's already taken place, you'd probably feel like some of these other did. Like, man, this guy is a cult and he's a false prophet. But my Bible said that I'm dwelling in heavenly places. How did I get there? I was caught away there. I'm sealed in and hid away in Christ. Where's Christ? He's in heaven. Which heaven's he in? The Bible said, I don't know whether I was in body or in spirit, but I know I was caught away into the third heaven. So if there's a third heaven, that means there's a first and second heaven. So where's Jesus at? Is he in the third heaven, the second heaven, or in the first heaven? And where are you at tonight? Which heaven are you living in? I know the answers. Well, you thinking too highly of yourself. No, I had to think real humble and low myself for I can get the mind of Christ and a revelation of these things. Because I was taught church world doctrine. I know what they're teaching out there. I've been part of it for many years and traveled and worked and sat with the best of them. I've been behind the doors with some of your television evangelists. Behind the doors with them and been with them behind the scenes, we might say. I didn't like their life and the way they lived and the way they think about people. I think people are more than a wallet. It's quiet in here. Brothers and sisters, let's get real with God. It's very difficult to close a service because there's so many questions and things, and I don't like to leave people hanging in any way, shape, or form, but I can tell you this, that there's so many thoughts if we wanted to go into teaching on the rapture. Number one, it's not biblical. Come to me and show me one scripture in the Bible that says rapture. It doesn't. Nowhere. So I'm not bound to teach some rapture doctrine. I'm bound to teach the word. The Bible says the transfiguration, the with the redemption of the body, is what the Bible teaches. What about the Thessalonian change? It doesn't say rapture. In Thessalonians, it said it will be changed in the moment, a twinkling of an eye, from mortal to into immortality. So the thing is, I understand the word and I teach it. The doctrine that is being taught of this great big mass exodus and all these people caught out and the airplanes are crashing and cars crashing, it's going to be such a small flock, it's not going to be hardly noticed. There's going to be a lot of these so-called, what they call Christians in the United States of America, go through the tribulation because they're going to have to pay with their own blood because they trampled the blood of Jesus Christ under their feet. Well, isn't there going to be the true elect lady of the church being caught out? And I say, yes, it will. But you see, we got to teach rapture according to the scriptures. There's a spirit rapture relative to the spirit. There's one relative to the soul, and there's one relative to the body. The church teaches the one on the body pretty much accurately. There will be a collective change when the ones that are in the grave, the Bible says, that are asleep, that body will be changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, and it'll be changed again from telestial to celestial, and it will be raised from corruption, the Bible says, into incorruption. And I teach that. But there has to be another rapture that takes place previous then. It's got to be your spirit, has got to be hidden in Christ, caught away and dwelling in heavenly places. That's according to the scriptures. So we got to have a rapture that takes place once and for all by Christ, where we're hid away in heaven, And then we got to have one that takes place in the soul, and that's daily. When we're daily dying and daily being crucified and daily mortifying deeds of flesh, that has to do with the second heaven, has to do with the soul. The third heaven has to do with the spirit. Now, this is the invisible. We were talking about spirits, and I'm going to close up with this. The spirit is invisible. It comes down and manifests itself in a physical form. You see, if I'm three, you understand that? Oh, no, Brother Rob, you're just one. No, I'm three. I'm not three persons, but I'm three. The Bible says Father, Word, and Holy Ghost. It said these three are one. Well, in mathematics, that doesn't work. I'm sorry. You know, you're saying, how do you have these three to make them one? So we get into all this teaching. Well, you know, they're in the same mind, so they're one. You know, Paul said, I show you a mystery in the man and woman married, they become one in the flesh. Well, I teach that mystery, and I understand the mysteries of God. I'm a steward of the mysteries. But that's a poor explanation of the Godhead. I have a spirit that if my spirit leaves my body, according to the scriptures, my body's dead. So there's one part of me over there that's dead. And then there's another part of me that's gone. The Bible says to be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. So now I've got a spirit over here with the Lord, and the body's over there, man, and the worms are getting it. Oh my, what are we going to do? Well, where's the soul now? Where's the soul at? And where's the soul realm run at? You see, one has to do with the third heaven, one has to do with the second heaven, one has to do with the first heaven. Now, I'm talking the Bible. I haven't left the scriptures. We got the scriptures and the Word of God for this now. So we need to understand the Word. The spirit man's already caught away, hidden in Christ. That's the one that can't sin. It's the inner man. It's the queen. If it sins, it's death, and it's none of God's. Then the second realm, the second heaven, is the warfare with the red dragon. I could take you over in the book of Revelation, and it talked about this woman. There was a place prepared there, and it said that she was in travail to bring forth a child, and the dragon was there to devour the child just as soon as it was born. The red dragon has to do with blood life. And this spirit that's rising up in here, the Bible said light being formed within darkness, and the spirit that's coming alive in here, the spirit of Christ, there's that red dragon of your blood life, of your flesh, wanting to consume that thing, and it wants to kill it out because it's relative to the father of this world, which is the devil. You understand that? And this is why we're in a travail and a warfare. You see, the Bible said there's no child born unless there's a travail. The woman had to bring a travail to bring forth the child in this world. And when you're going to bring forth the Christ child, there's a travail to bring forth the child. Goes into a lot of revelation here. But we're still speaking about spirits. So we find the spirit leaves the body being dead. So we got a spirit, we got a body, but there's a soul. The soul has to do with the second heaven. This is what Jesus came in, was the soul realm. Because he said he was the mediator between God, the invisible spirit, and man. And he come in the second, the bridge between the two, the mediator between God and man, brings them together. So then, this is why the Bible teaches that we no longer know him after the flesh, after the image that he came in. This is why the Catholic Church is wrong when they keep him naked and stripped off on a cross. We're not to know him after that no more. He went back to the Spirit, back to the Father. He sent one back, the Holy Ghost. The Bible's very clear on this. It teaches us in the scriptures in the early church how the Holy Ghost came back and they were filled with the Holy Ghost, the power of God. That's the personification. The Spirit that personified itself in Jesus come. After it had been personified, it's the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost comes back to us, the many-member body, the body of Christ. The Holy Ghost dwells in us, the same Spirit that dwelled in Christ Jesus. So it'll change you in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. It'll take you from death unto life, and that's why we cannot die. Stand together with me. I wish I could get into some revelation tonight. It would take much time, and I perceive that you don't have the time to really get into the mysteries of God. I would love to really get into some deep mysteries of God tonight. Paul spoke to him. He said, I'd like to speak unto you spirituals, but I find you still yet carnal. He said, the things that I'm trying to teach you, he said that you ought to be teaching these things yourself. Amen. This Word of God is rich. It's alive. It's the Word, brothers and sisters. Let's get with the Word. Amen. It is His Spirit. It's life. The God that was, the God that is, and the God that is to come. Talks about that in Revelations, the first chapter there. There was one that was, one that is, and one that is to come. Which one are you serving? Are you looking for the one to come? Oh, someday Jesus is going to come back for us. Praise God. Well, he's already came back for me. Amen. He promised that back 2,000 years ago. He said, go to Jerusalem and you tarry there until you receive power. Amen. And he said he'll send the Holy Ghost back. Amen. The Holy Ghost come back. He hasn't left me and forsaken me for 2,000 years of his people. He's with us. Two or three come together in his name. He's in the midst. Jesus is here tonight. Amen. He's living in me. The Bible said it's no longer the minister speaking, but it's Christ speaking through him. Amen. The Bible says that he's given us the power, brothers and sisters. He said, go there until you're endued with power. The power to do what? To remit sin. Amen. Go and read it in the scriptures. It's very clear. You say, you could remit sin, Brother Rob? Well, Jesus did it, and he was the firstborn of many brethren, and the Pharisees came up and they were going to take up stones and said that man couldn't do this. But Jesus was the example and done it. And he told us in Matthew 28:19 to go ye into all the world baptizing them. Didn't he teach us that? And then we go over and find out that they were baptized for the remission of sin. What do you think baptism's for? You think just when we get people wet? You see, it's for the remission of sin. It's just a way. Is it the water that washes them? No, it's the blood of Jesus. You see, we need to get in the Word. We need to understand our Bibles. Amen. Fall in love with Jesus. Fall in love with His Word. Start digging in His Word. Get your Bibles open and get in that Scriptures. Get in that Word. And I challenge you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Come show me one place that I've deviated from the Scriptures and the Word of God. I tell them that when it's on the radio for 9 years. I said, please come over here and show me somebody. The preacher that said I'm a false prophet said, please come over here. I'll open up the Sacred Destiny and you take an explain to these people where I'm wrong or where I'm in error. Please show me somewhere. Wouldn't do it because he couldn't do it because he was of his father, the devil. Amen. Okay, sing song, brother, because I'll start preaching again. Sing. Jesus, you love the Lord? Amen. I wish you would have time to really get into the Scriptures. Come back Sunday with a hunger and a thirst. Put your pot roast on low. Or it won't get burned. If you love your mother and father more than you do him, you're not worthy of him. He came to put the mother-in-law against the daughter-in-law. Say, whoa, that's what the Bible says. I'm just quoting His Word. It's easy to understand those things when you're full of the Holy Ghost. Amen. We're serving an awesome God. Jesus is real. He's my King, my Lord, my salvation. Is He yours? Is He your God tonight? Is He your Lord? Hallelujah. We won't keep you long, but the altars are open. The Bible said if there's any sick or afflicted among you to come forward in the church, let the elders of the church lay hands on them and anoint them with oil. And it said that they might sometimes be healed. Ain't what it says, is it? It said they shall be healed. Do you believe that tonight? I believe His Word, amen. His Word is real. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. You've been down seeing them old natural doctors, ain't you? You need the real one, don't you? Some of you might come in the altars with me, obedient to the Word of God. I feel the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Do you believe in the power of prayer tonight, saints? Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise you, Lord Jesus. You feel that spirit of peace, brother?
Haven of rest, and I'll sail the wild sea no more. Though the tempest it may sweep out of stormy deep, but in Jesus ever.
Right here, they gave her son 6 months, maybe a year. They were liars, weren't they?
Amen.
We got all authority and over sickness and disease. Amen. Praise God. Did you feel the anointing of the Holy Ghost? I felt the virtue of the Lord. Amen. You see, Brother Rob's not a healer. I can't heal nobody. I don't have no power to do nothing. But I'll tell you, my God is the same today, yesterday, and forever. And the same God that dwelled in Peter at the gate called Beautiful, and he said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give unto thee. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, Amen. Rise up and walk. Amen. I got that same Holy Ghost living in me. That Praise same God. Jesus living Amen. In me. Amen. Hallelujah. And everything's okay.
Praise
Sister's
Lord.
Been burdened in her mind. She's been trying to walk in faith and believing. But I'll say, stand on it. Don't let anything change and move you. The Bible said that when Jesus was in Nazareth, that not everybody was healed. Why? Why was it? You remember? It was unbelief.
Unbelief.
Amen. We don't have room for unbelief around here. It's done taking place. Everything's settled and it's finished and it's done. Amen. The same virtue of the Holy Ghost when this little 16-year-old boy had an inoperable cancer on his brain stem. And it was the size of a tangerine back there. And I told him, I said, would you just give your life to Jesus and serve the Lord? Everything's okay. And the thing went away. And he lives. The doctor said, well, we've misdiagnosed this thing. Amen. But that's okay. I don't need doctor's recognition. We know Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Jimmy Smith, down there in Bethlehem, Brother Pike said, don't worry about it. It's okay. He was coughing up blood. I mean, he would cough and he would have towels with him, coughing up blood. The doctor said, if you don't let us take this lung out, and if you don't let us take it out, you're going to be dead in 60 days. And he said, if I'm in the graveyard in 60 days and ain't from cancer, the preacher said, I'm healed. And I done heard from the Lord. Amen. So the thing is, and how many years is that now? I guess it's probably been somewhere 20 years. Yeah, I've known 18 years. So it's probably been close to 25 years now. Still going on just strong as can be. You love the Lord tonight, mm-hmm. brothers and sisters. If I had the power to walk into the hospitals and start raising the people just at my will and saying, here, get out of the bed and walk. Hey, get up. I'll tell you what, I would give all my strength and all my time, and I'd be going to the nursing homes and the hospitals, and I'd just be grabbing people up out of chairs and doing that. See, I can't do that. But there's a Spirit of God that dwells in me that knows His children, and mm-hmm. He knows who He is going, and it's by His will. I can't control that. But I do know this, as a servant of God, I know when the virtue of the Holy Ghost leaves my body.
Praise God.
Do you remember when Jesus was going and the people were thronging Him all around Him and pushing on Him? And they said they were pushing off from this way. And He said, who touched me? They said, what do you mean who touched you? Man, there's people all around you. That's not what He was talking about. He was talking about He knew somebody made contact with the spirit world. And when they made the contact with that spirit world, He said, the virtue left my body.
Amen.
Brothers and sisters, I can't control your faith of when the virtue leaves my body, but I know when it happens. When you make that contact and you touch and that thing goes through me, that's not me, that's the Holy Ghost. Amen.
Amen.
What is the Holy Ghost? He's a healer. It's the children's bread. Amen. Hallelujah. And it goes forth. And I say, thus saith the Lord, it's done, taking place, it's happened, it's over, it's
praise
finished.
God.
The healing is hers. You say, well, Brother Rob, you'd be a false prophet. You said, thus saith the Lord. I'm not a false prophet. It's done, taking place. It's finished.
Happened.
It's done.
Finished.
It's over.
Amen.
Nothing to worry about. It's done. Are you sure, Brother Rob? I'm sure. I'm wondering about you. Why do I feel oppressed in my spirit? Man, I tell you, it is finished. It's done. Why is there unbelief in the house of God? Praise God. Can somebody say, thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
All right, let's sing a song. We're going to close the service. Sister Sheila's faith made contact with the spirit world. Amen. And everything is going to be all right. The doctors are looking for everything they can find. They want to find leukemia. They want to find MS. They want to find AIDS. They want to look and they want to search. But we've already found the physician. And He looked down through the portals of time, down through the stripes of the living God, the Lord Jesus Christ, and by His stripes we are healed. And looked down through and saw, amen, strength and health and whole. Praise God. Fall in love with Jesus, amen. He's our God, our King, our Lord. There is no other God. It's Jesus. He is our God, our King, and our Lord. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. There's no other name given among men that thou shalt be saved. It's Jesus. He is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Amen. Well, how do we pray? You pray in the name of Jesus to your Heavenly Father, because there's no other way that your prayers will be heard. You can't pray through the Pope. And you can't ask Mary to get your prayers request. And you can't ask St. Andrew to get your prayers to the Heavenly Father. It's Jesus, and Him only is the mediator between God and man. And everything you do it in His name. There's no other name. It's Jesus. Fall in love with Him. Let Him be your God, your King, and your Lord. We'll get Brother Jonathan up to dismiss us in prayer. Remember to continue to pray for Brother Reggie. Amen. Pray for Brother Chuck as he's traveling. Pray for Brother Dale as he's traveling. God not with us this evening. Praise you, Lord Jesus.
We hope this message has enlightened and encouraged you. If you would like to receive other messages and teachings from Brother Rob, please feel free to contact us. Our web address is christiantempleonline.org. Or you may write us at Christian Temple, P.O. Box 735, High Point, North Carolina, 27261. We, the brothers and sisters of Christian Temple, would like to invite you to come worship with us. Our services are at 10 a.m. on Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday and Friday nights. We are located at 3842 Mount Gilead Church Road, Sophie, North Carolina, 27350. For directions, go to christiantempleonline.org/map. Thank you again for listening, and may God richly bless you.